Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Keith? You good? All right. Hey, folks, it's message time here. No music from Jesse today. So Brantley brought the music digitally. So that's kind of the joke here. Anyway, my name's John Littleford. I've been out here a few times before. I always enjoy coming out here to speak. And just hope that you'll be encouraged today as we look at just a couple verses in the Bible. And I will say that since this is kind of the topic here has a lot of history to it that I'm choosing not to go into. If you have some questions after the brief message today, myself or Keith or, you know, some of the leaders here will be here to explain maybe more about the Old Testament sacrificial system. So just keep that in mind if you have some questions. So anyway, let's go ahead and get started here. We're here at Norton's Florist Shop. And if I were to walk into an establishment like this, I think Norton's has three locations in the area, or maybe some type of nonprofit organization, and I wanted to speak with the owner, the top dog, the big cheese, as we might call him, there is a high probability that I would have to speak to someone in a lower rank first to resolve a problem or ask a question. There's usually some type of gatekeeper that we have to go through first if we're going to speak to the top guy or top gal. So in Bible times, in the Old Testament, the biblical times, part one, the Old Testament, in the history of God's people, the Israelites did not have direct access to God. They had to go through priests to take their concerns, their requests to God. So the Old Testament, the priests, usually they had different responsibilities, but generally speaking, the priest had the right, the privilege, responsibility on behalf of the people to go to God. And they could talk and pray and worship and fellowship with God. All the other people had to go through the priest. The priest also had the privilege, had the privilege and responsibility of representing God to the people and ministering to their needs, serving them. So simply stated, priests were the people's rep to God and God's rep or representative to the people. Now, not only were there priests, there was also the top dog priest, if I could say that, the big boy priest, known as the high priest. And he had a special responsibility or responsibilities. The most important duty of the high priest was to lead a worship service on a special day called the Day of Atonement. This worship service took place once a year inside a big tent called the tabernacle. Later, that tabernacle became a more permanent structure called the temple. And only he, the high priest, was allowed to enter into a sacred room separated by a huge curtain and to stand before God. He would make an animal sacrifice on behalf of himself and the people. And after he sacrificed the animal, he would take that blood from the animal and sprinkle it on the altar, the mercy seat, or what we might even call the throne of God. The high priest did this to make things right for himself and for the people, for all the sins that they had committed in the past year. And so it is this particular service, this Day of Atonement, that is also compared to the ministry of Jesus Christ, our high priest. So today I want to read a passage from Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16 in the New Testament. And it reads this: "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is the passage that I want us to ponder and focus on today. I don't know if you've ever met someone that you have a lot in common with. You probably have, and you just enjoy hanging out with them. You share a lot of the same views on the world, religion, maybe politics. Maybe you follow some of the same sport teams, have the same hobbies. You know, men like to hunt and fish together. Women like to shop together. Maybe you all like the same place of food, same place to go eat. The point is this. We generally like being around people like ourselves. We feel comfortable with them because we think they understand us. We can easily relate to them. But with Jesus, he not only understands us. It is in our weaknesses that Jesus best identifies with us. He was a human being like us. Jesus knew exactly what it meant to be like us. He knew what it was like to be hungry. He knew what it was like to be thirsty. Jesus knew exactly how it felt to be despised, rejected, shamed, embarrassed, abandoned, and horribly misunderstood. Jesus knew what it was like to be falsely accused, physically abused and tortured, and ultimately killed by religious people who thought they were doing the right thing. He experienced loneliness. His best friends even abandoned him when he needed them the most. And yet Jesus, being tempted and tried in every way, just as we are, never gave in to temptation and sin. He endured the challenges of temptation and trials, whereas we, eventually we give in to our sinful desires, simply to make ourselves more comfortable. Now, think about you and me for a moment. When our relationships go bad, what do? What about when people ignore us and don't recognize us as we want them to? What about when a family member betrays us or when they misunderstood something we said? What about when we thought something really good was about to happen and that would bring us some type of relief, and then we're let down by someone, and maybe even God himself, or simply by life's circumstances? Well, I have a word for you today, folks, at the church at Southside. So hear me today. We have a friend and a Savior who is there with us. Jesus is much like the doctor who not only treats our sickness, but who treats us as the doctor who has also overcome the same sickness. And just as a doctor puts his stethoscope against your skin to feel your heart pulsate and listen to your lungs, Jesus puts his hand on your heart to feel exactly what you are feeling. And when you are experiencing your weakness, temptations, and sin, Jesus enters in to despair, and he co-suffers with you and I in your temptation. So today this begs the question, where do we need to go with Jesus to deal with our deepest needs and desires? Where do we go with our anxiety, our depression, addictions, loneliness, and broken hearts? Where do we go with Jesus to take care of these issues? Unforgiveness, bitterness, and maybe some unresolved anger. Where do we go with Jesus to help us when we don't have any more money and we have to pay bills and we haven't eaten in 3 days and we want to do something wrong to meet our needs? Let me again read from verse 16 of Hebrews 4. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We are told to go to the throne of grace. The throne of grace. So what do you think about when you think of a throne? I don't know. Maybe you think of a big chair, maybe made of some expensive wood or marble or gold. And then who sits on such a throne? Usually a throne is a seat where someone important, like a king or ruler of some case or some kind, will sit. And in this case, the throne of grace is the throne of God, the throne of your Creator and mine. He made the heavens and the earth. He set the boundaries of the oceans and the sky. He knows the stars by name, and he knows all the creatures he made in the deepest parts of the sea and the parts of the earth that we've never seen. He set up the galaxies of the countless stars. One of them is the sun that shines on us today to give us light and warmth. Science tells us that there are about 100 billion stars in one galaxy, and that there are 100 billion galaxies, which means there are approximately 400 billion suns just like ours. And God provides the energy for all those suns. And it is He who sits on the throne of grace. And we are to approach this throne, how? With confidence. And why wouldn't we? We have Jesus with us. He's the Son of God and our great high priest. He is the perfect high priest. But let's be honest, for many of us, we don't go to His throne with confidence. We don't go there with an assurance and a belief that anyone, let alone God Himself, is listening or that He cares about our troubles. So let me ask you a few more questions. Do you believe in yourself to take care of your life rather than the one who created you? Are you convinced that you can do better without God? Is it possible that you're afraid to admit your need for God? Or are you possibly too stubborn to admit that you need Him, especially in the time of temptation? Let me go even a little deeper and a little more personal. What sin brings fear and keeps you from approaching God with confidence? What is it in your heart today that has so wounded you that you will not let go and give to the one who can give you mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need from that throne of grace? Is it an addiction? Is it a desire for a better home? Is it a health condition? Is it a hole in your soul that just never, ever has a sense of peace about who you are and why you're here in this world? In other words, just to know that you really matter in this world. What do you need most from your Heavenly Father right now in your life? What do you fear the most that keeps you from approaching Him right now? I'm going to ask you to listen very carefully. Jesus, your high priest and your representative, wants to take you to the Father, the throne of grace, and represent you and me. He came to be our representative. He tells the Father what you and I need to bring relief to our souls. And not only is He our high priest, He is the sacrifice needed to forgive you and your sins and my sins and my weaknesses. He was the ultimate sacrifice that allows us direct access to God. Now, I know I've shared with some of you this story, so forgive me if it's repetitive, but several years ago, I had a problem with alcohol. If you've heard the story, forgive me. For some reason in my life, even though I knew Jesus, I really stopped trusting that God really cared about me and my life. I stopped seeking Him to help me with my needs. So I decided it was a good idea to start drinking alcohol to numb the pain in my heart and my soul. And after 2 of 3 years of this, I ended up with a public intoxication charge and a DUI charge and spent 2 nights in jail. Clearly, giving in to temptation of alcohol to deal with my problems was not the solution. Now, the DUI charge was pending for a while. I showed up in court a few times, and my case continued on. The court wanted me to pay a bunch of money and take some classes to satisfy my DUI charge. But I had a really good lawyer, and we decided to wait it out and be patient. And I didn't have the money to pay the fine, and I sensed that I should wait. Well, eventually, I waited long enough, and the city prosecution made enough mistakes that eventually my charges were completely dropped, as if they had never happened. As if they had never happened. The judge looked at me and told me that I should be thankful for a good lawyer. Folks, for you and me, we know we have offenses and sins that need to be erased so that we can go on and live our lives in freedom as we are meant to. We need a good advocate or a good lawyer to go to before our Heavenly Father on our behalf to drop the charges in our hearts and minds. And thank God we have that in the person of Jesus Christ, who is not only our high priest, but was the sacrifice that erased our offenses and sins against our Heavenly Father. I'm going to read another passage out of Hebrews here before I close in prayer. This is taken out of chapter 10 of Hebrews. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, today we're grateful for many things. Thank you for the sun that shines and gives us light, allows us to move about and gives us warmth. But Father, most of all, we thank you for providing the ultimate once and for all sacrifice of your Son Jesus to help us in our greatest time of need. Thank you that He is also our great high priest who takes our temptations to you to help us find the grace and mercy we need to help us in our time of need. We pray that all in His name, Jesus. Amen. Before I took a breath.